I'm not asking for sympathy. Scratch that.
What's your name?
Nathaniel Anthony Ayers Jr.
You only got two strings.
I've had a few setbacks.
Me too.
Hi, this is Steve Lopez from the LA Times. I'm calling to see if Nathaniel Ayers attended your school.
He was the most gifted kid I've ever met.
I'm going to write a column about Nathaniel. People heard that you were just playing with two strings. Some of them thought you might want something better to work with.
I can't cover that.
It's a gift. What is he up? Schizophrenia?
Are you flying that plane?
No, I'm right here.
I'm not always so sure of what's going on.
He has no idea what he's saying.
What's the deal, Diamond?
I thought that was you.
Your friend is downstairs.
I don't want to take full responsibility.
Oh, by all means, avoid full responsibility.
He's sick and he needs a psychiatric hospital.
Oh, you just keep on using me.
If anyone has one thing going for him,
do you use me
a friend?
Come on, you can do it.
A year ago, I met a man who was down on his luck. And he's got a kid. I thought I might be able to help him.
Are you out of your mind?
Witnessing his courage, his humility.
So you think I can be good again?
And the power of his art.
Now, I've never loved anything the way that he loves music.
Being his friend will carry you home. And the closest thing to family he has. We take care of each other. We look after each other. I'm his friend.
Last phrase of that trailer, movie trailer. We look after each other. We take care of each other. I'm his friend. Can you say that this morning about someone in your life? We look after each other. We take care of each other. I'm his friend. I'm her friend. It's a question that I want us to think about. This isn't a Christian movie that we saw here, but it really touches on some Christian principles in a way that I probably won't be able to communicate quite as well this morning. It exposes some gritty honesty about the difficulties we face in relationships, and we have all experienced difficulties in the relationships that we have with people and with each other. It shows the challenging questions that we ask. And it makes us think about, this movie actually makes us think about, what is true friendship? It made me think about that. What does friendship look like? And really, the body of Christ should be the best place where this is modeled, because the principles of true friendship come directly from Scripture. How did the New Testament writers refer to people they were writing to? Well, I counted out through the New Testament, at least in my translation, there's over 30 references to saying, dear friends. That's how a lot of these letters will begin. Dear friends. Over 30 times, Paul and various writers in the New Testament refer to the church in that way. Dear friends. And so I want to look at the context of our discussion here today from the angle of friendship, true friendship. I've already started to explore this idea of what is body life. And if you're not familiar with the New Testament, it talks a lot about the church being like a body that's connected together, that functions as a unit. And so we've looked at a couple ideas. What does body life look like? And a couple foundational truths that we looked at. One was the idea of oneness. that Jesus, in his one of his last prayers while he was on the earth, he prayed for the church. And he didn't pray that we would be great at doing things. He wouldn't pray that we would excel in our programs or anything like that. He prayed that the church would become one. One as he and the Father are one. And so we looked at that, this idea of oneness. The similar language that we see in a marriage relationship is the other relationship that we see that kind of language used. This idea of the body being one. And then secondly, we recognized the more excellent way of love. That love must be the foundation of all that we do. That all of the things that we're involved in, the tasks, the activities, the things that we're trying to accomplish, that if there is not a foundation of love underneath all of those things, that the Bible says that they are worthless, that they're not worth anything. So we looked at that. And many of you took up the challenge a few weeks ago to go out and intentionally do an act of love to someone in this local body. It'd be interesting to hear some of your stories. What God spoke to you about. You're all creative in different ways in showing that kind of love. So I'd be curious to hear that. And maybe you forgot about it. Well, you still have a chance to go out and do that. To be intentional about showing love. So keep it up. There's a tremendous blessing from knowing that God used you to bless somebody else. Well, the next few weeks are going to get more practical. We're going to dig down to the nitty-gritty of what this looks like. The verses that we'll be looking at deal with the more practical things of how is this worked out? How do I do this in real life? What does it look like to work this out? And so these verses we're going to look at give us some practical ways that we can promote this oneness idea in our body and also give us a better understanding of what it really looks like to love each other. So today I want to take an honest look at true friendship in the context of the body of Christ. What does that look like? And why do I say true friendship? Well, I think we're all aware that some friendships are based on a pretty shallow foundation. And I'm not talking about that kind of friendship, a superficial kind of friendship that's built on, shallow things in life. But I want to look at what is really a true friendship. And that's one of the things that I appreciated about this movie, you saw the trailer to it here, is that it really exposed what I thought of as true friendship. And it didn't really gloss over the issues that we face in relating to each other. It exposed them for all their ugliness, the pain that comes from relating to each other closely, the hurt that comes when we hurt each other and when we betray each other. And then it also shows the awesome joy that comes from the other side of walking through difficulty together and knowing that you have somebody that is going to stick with you regardless of what happens, whatever you do, that they're going to be with you. They're going to be by your side. They're going to be helping you. Even if you hurt them or offend them. The beauty of that. And so that's what I want to look at today. I want us to look at what is true friendship. Why would we take the risk of being offended or experiencing pain in relationships? Sometimes we would have to admit that the difficulty of relationships makes us sometimes just want to take off and move out to Montana or something where there isn't any people. And we could just live by ourselves and we wouldn't have to deal with this pain of relating to other people. But that's not how God designed us. He designed us for a need for people, a need for relationship, a need to connect with each other. And so I want to encourage us to move past these superficial relationships that we often have. We're called to go deeper, beyond the surface, beyond the mask, beyond the pretense that we give. We're called to go deeper. We're called to really touch each other's souls through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're called to minister to each other. It's one of our primary tasks of being here, to minister to each other through the power of the Spirit. This is what true body life is about. And when we do this, we really will discover one of the greatest gifts on earth that a person can have. And that is the gift of a true friend. I'd like to frame our study around one verse. We're going to look at several this morning, but I want to start with Galatians 6, verse 2. Galatians 6, verse 2. It's probably a verse you're familiar with. It says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Well, how do we do this? How do we carry each other's burdens? How do we know how to do that? Well, one of the obvious things that I look at in carrying each other's burdens is we really need to know what they are. Isn't that correct? It's hard to carry someone's burden when you don't know what it is. And I'm curious, if we were to ask you this morning, how many of you would say that of the people in this group here, that you would know at least one person and be able to identify probably the most significant burden that they're carrying right now? I'm wondering if you would know one, or maybe two, or maybe five. What would be the number of people that you know this morning here among us that you could say, "I'm pretty sure that I know what the burden is that they're struggling with right now or this past week"? Think about that for a moment. Do you know what each other's burdens are? It's an obvious thing, but it's something we have to look at. My first point is really we need to be aware. We need to be aware of what is really going on in each other's lives in order to be able to carry each other's burdens. We need to be able to dig deeper into each other's lives and see what is really going on to be able to carry that burden. We need to observe. We need to be watching and looking. And probably a key point in this is that our focus needs to be on others and not on ourselves. I don't know about you, but me, I often get wrapped up in my own burdens that I'm carrying. And so a lot of times I walk around thinking, is anybody going to notice the burden that I'm carrying? It would be really cool if they did, you know? Maybe I come to church and I think, it'd be really cool if somebody asked me, you know, how I was doing, and they really, really wanted to know. And then I could tell them this burden that I'm carrying. And that's cool, but if we come with that kind of an attitude, we're going to look right past the burden that person is talking to us, what their burden is. And we're not going to notice that. Or the burdens of other people that are around us. And so if we get too focused in on the struggles that we have in our own lives, we get this narrow focus, we'll fail to see the problems in other people's lives that they need to be helped with. And so we need to observe. Our focus needs to be on others. We need to simply slow down, to take time, to be able to listen to others, to watch for clues, and just take the time to be with people, to listen to where they're at. One of the things that I've noticed with our kids sometimes is it seems like often in the evening, before we go to bed or they're getting ready for bed, that seems to be often a good time to talk and find out what's going on in their lives. And as the kids get older, the time gets later. And so for us older people, we have to be willing to stay up late sometimes to take that opportunity that maybe hasn't come all day to just sit and listen and to ask questions. And sometimes we're just rushing through the day so busy that we can't take a moment to really hear each other, to ask the questions that maybe someone is waiting for us to ask. So I've noticed that with our children, that can be a good time. But it can be any time where you notice you have some time alone in the car with somebody. Great time to have a good conversation. But God leads us in many different ways to notice what is going on around us, to notice what is going on in people's lives. One of those things is just asking good questions about what is going on in a person's life. I thought about that this week in talking with a couple this week. I learned a lot of things that I didn't know were going on in their lives, things that they were struggling with, things that they were experiencing that I learned because I asked questions that I hadn't asked before. And so it was a challenge to me to think, I need to ask more questions of people, not just, you know, what did you think about the game last night, but questions that really, in the end, matter in life. So asking good questions. And of course, we can't forget that all of this we're doing under the power of the Holy Spirit. We really don't have the ability to meet each other's needs, do we? I mean, friendship is great in itself, but we really cannot do this without the power of God working through us to touch another person's life. And so listening to the Spirit, what is He telling you? And often the Spirit will give you some insight into someone's life that you just wouldn't have had. And you know what question to ask because the Spirit has told you. And you're just simply being obedient to what God is prompting you to do. So for us to be able to carry each other's burdens, you will need to make yourself aware of what those burdens are. My second point is that we need to be real. We must be willing to be open and honest and vulnerable with each other. If you never let anyone into your heart, they will never be able to help you carry your burden. If you just keep that wall up in your relationships with other people, when they ask you questions, and even good questions, sometimes you just say, yeah, things are going great, fine, no problems, or everything's going fine. If that's your mode of operation, then people will never really be able to walk with you in the difficulties in your life. It'll be a lonely place because you'll need to deal with them yourself. You won't have anybody else to talk to about them. So we need to be real. We need to be open and honest with each other. And if you're not open and honest with another person, there's a good chance that they won't be open and honest with you. Because there needs to be a trust that's built there. When you open up to them, suddenly they realize that you're serious. And they're much more apt to open up to you with what's going on in their life. There are some believers that I meet, that I know in my life, that going various places and meeting people that I haven't seen. I don't see them often. But it's interesting. There are certain people that within 5 minutes of a conversation with them, we are down deep. We're talking about things of the heart. We're talking about things that we struggle with. And often we pray with each other. And I've wondered sometimes, what's the difference? There are other people that I see often, maybe every week, and very seldom or if ever go down here. It's always up here at a surface level, talking about things that are cool and interesting and fun maybe, but in the end really don't amount to a whole lot as far as helping us in our walk with God or helping us through the issues that we're facing in life. So we need to be willing to be open and honest with each other, to be vulnerable. And that's difficult. I had to wonder, too, I remember hearing from City Challenge about the girls who went to City Challenge and that they had this great time of sharing and prayer time together, that It sounded to me like maybe hadn't happened in a long time, or maybe if ever, like that. And I had to wonder, has that happened since then? What was it about that time of meeting together, praying together, for you girls that went, that took you to a deeper level with each other? What was it about that? Is it continuing to happen? I don't know. Or maybe the question with this question of being real, are you willing to go there again? Are you willing to go there again with each other? Part of this being real, as I touched on already, that we need to build trust with each other. People need to know that we really do care about them. That they're not just a project. That we're just not saying, how you doing, just because it's a figure of speech or a way of talking to each other, starting conversation. They need to know that we really care. And so there needs to be a trust that's built. They need to know that you won't gossip about their problems to other people. That they can trust you with the issues in their life. That you're not going to go spreading it around. Or maybe that your objective is just is to tell other people about some of the juicy things that you heard about others, the problems that they're experiencing. They need to know that you're not going to do that. Be able to trust you. In this area of trust, the fact is that when we share openly and deeply with each other, we are going to make mistakes. We're going to misunderstand each other. And we're going to hurt each other. It happens. In each relationship that I know of, where it's a deep relationship, it happens at some point in time. Because we make mistakes. We're human. And so we need to be able to push past that, and not, there's a temptation to just at that point shut the door and say, you know what, I'm not going to go there again with anybody, because the last time I did that, somebody just tore my heart out. They betrayed my trust, and it's just not worth it. I'm not going to go there again. That's a temptation that we have when we get hurt. But the reality is it's going to happen. And we need to stick with it, stick in that relationship, work through it, talk through it, and build that trust with each other and come through the other side. We also have to be humble. We all have our problems. And one of the reasons we like to put this kind of mask on is because we like people to think that we have it all together. You know, that I don't have any problems, really, any significant problems. And so I portray this idea that everything's good and fine, and it's not true. It isn't true. What really holds us back there is pride. We have to be humble and willing to say, you know what, I have my own problems like anybody does. And they don't look pretty. And here's what they look like. I need help with them. So we need to be humble. God didn't design the body to function independently of each other. So we need to stop being so independent. We need to be willing to be vulnerable and share honestly what is going on. To seek out someone that you can trust for his or her help, that requires humility. And this brings me to a point that James brings up in his letter in chapter 5, verse 16. He says, therefore, confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And I have a feeling that scripture is probably one of the ones that is not really obeyed a lot. This idea of really opening up and confessing our sin to each other and saying, you know what? This is a side of me that's just ugly. And I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray that God will help me through this, to conquer this problem in my life. Confess our sins to each other. It requires us to be honest with each other. And then to pray that each of us might have victory. So to carry each other's burdens, we must become aware of what they are. And sometimes the only way that we can really become aware is if we are real with each other. That's the only way we're going to know what is going on and to be able to carry that burden, is to be real and honest and open with each other. The last point I want to make is that we need to be involved. We must be willing to get messy. And it will get messy. When you get involved in a person's life, it gets messy. And we have to be willing to roll up our sleeves and walk through them through the mess, to wade through it with them. And I'm beginning to see as I get older that there are few, if any, simple answers to our problems. We would like to be able to give a simple answer to someone's problem and just see it fixed and say, there you go, on your way again. And I don't really know if there are any like that. At least it hasn't been my experience. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes listening, and it takes staying with them through a fairly long process, if not your whole life. Sticking with them. There are no real simple answers. There are simple answers in Scripture, but it takes some work to apply those, to actually submit to the Spirit and allow Him to change us and mold us and make us into the person that we need to be and we want to be. It's a process. It takes time. And so we need to be willing to realize that when we go deep with people, that we're in it for the long haul, not just to make a short, quick fix and get out. And there's always that temptation to get out when things get really messy, just to dive out of it or to hand it off to someone else. In this movie that I showed at the beginning here, this clip, there were points in the movie where Steve Lopez, who is the journalist, who wrote about this man on the street, there's points where he just becomes completely overwhelmed with the problems of this gentleman that he found on the street, Nathaniel. As he digs in deeper to this guy's life, he finds out what it really is like to live on the street and the tremendous difficulties that are involved with that. He finds out the problems of mental illness that this man has and how it torments this man. And the struggle to know how to help him. And his first inclination is that he just wants to fix this problem. We got to find some kind of drug, some kind of treatment that's going to fix this problem. And so he spends part of the time just looking at how he can fix this for Nathaniel. And eventually, he gets so deep, he comes to the point where he just says, you know what? I don't want to be involved. It's not my problem. Somebody else's problem. This is too big for me. You know, I didn't need to do this. And so, he's at a decision point where, am I going to stay in this relationship, or am I just going to dive out and pass it off to somebody else or to some other group or organization? And I think it's a common thing that we run into in our relationships with people, where we start to get past the surface, we start to dig deeper, and suddenly we come to the realization that they have problems just like we do. And some of them are deep problems that we don't really have any answers to. And over time, we wonder, what can I do to help this person? What am I supposed to do? Or we get overwhelmed and say, you know what? I can't handle this. It's too hard. It's too painful. And we just want to dive out of the relationship. Are we going to stick or are we going to bail out? It's a question that we have to deal with. And when we get past the issues of being aware and we we are real with each other, then we have to make these decisions. What are we going to do with it then? Are we going to stay involved? Are we going to get involved and be a person that will help, a friend that will be with them? Romans 12, Paul shares this. He says, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So when we see a need, what are we going to do? Are we going to just walk away from it, act like we didn't see it? Or are we going to share with that person? In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul's talking here again, verse 25 and 26. He says, there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So we're to enter into that with people. When they suffer, we suffer. When they rejoice, we rejoice. So I don't know how far you can take this, but like with the Buckeye game, maybe I can suffer with you over that, possibly. Maybe that's a little too superficial, but anyways, it kind of touches on the same point. When things happen in our lives that are difficult, that we suffer with each other. When things happen that are great, that we rejoice with each other. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. And I had to think, I've been at a couple weddings this fall where there's a lot of rejoicing going on in the weddings. It's a great time of celebration, one of the most awesome times of celebration, I think, in a person's life. And I remember just a couple people, I was thinking of John and Dan. I saw them at both of the two weddings that I was at recently. And I thought about it this week. I thought, you know what? Maybe 2 years ago, I don't know how long you've been attending here, but 1 or 2 years ago, they would have no idea who these people were that they went to the weddings, Liz and Preston, and then Andrew and Stephanie. But a couple years ago, they got involved in a small group together, and they have been sharing life together. They've been connecting with each other. They've been going deeper in those relationships. And so they drive 6-8 hours to celebrate with those friends, to celebrate that time in those weddings. And many of you do that with your friends. You go and celebrate with them when they have times of celebration. And also when we have times of difficulty, you come alongside them. I had to think of the time when my mother passed away a couple years ago. And it happened very suddenly. And I remember being on the phone. I just talked with somebody right after that from this congregation. And I just remember the concern in their voice and the caring that they had for me in that situation. And then Larissa had her accident around the same time, and it seemed like we just had a lot of things that were happening that were difficult. And there were people from this congregation who, in the middle of the week, drove up to Michigan to be at the funeral of my mother and to stop at the hospital and visit with us. And you know what? I don't really remember what they said. Maybe I should. I don't remember what they said. If it was appropriate or not, or if it was good, I assume it was good. But I remember that they were there, that they took the time to be there with me. And sometimes I think when, especially in situations that are difficult for our friends, we say, well, you know what, I don't really know what to say to them. If they lost a loved one, I don't know what to say. Well, what should I say, or what should I do? And I don't know that that's really that important, what you say. But just the fact that you show up, a phone call, a note, dropping by the house, whatever it is, that they know that you want to walk, that they want to walk that with, you know, that they want to walk that path with you. That they want to, in some way, however they can, help carry that burden with you. So to mourn with people who mourn, to celebrate with those who celebrate. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So part of being involved also is this idea of encouraging each other. And the only way we can really encourage each other is to know what's going on, to know what the situation is, to speak into that situation, and to trust God that He will give you words to say that they need to hear, that He will give you knowledge of what actions might be really meaningful to them. So we need to encourage each other. And we talked about sin already in our lives, to be involved in helping each other work through the sin that is in our lives. I have people that I am accountable to, the things that I struggle with. To be accountable to those people, to be honest and open, to allow them to ask pointed questions of you. How are you doing in this area? You told me that you're struggling here. How are you doing? What do you need from me to help you in this situation? So helping each other work through the sin that we struggle with, encouraging each other, sharing Scripture with each other. And one of the things that is simply comes along is just to be available, like I already said, to be available to listen. One of the quotes from the movie that I appreciated is somebody was talking to this journalist, and he was sharing about his struggle with knowing how to help Nathaniel. What should he do to help him? Or how could he help him in the situations he's facing? And they said, you know what? You're never going to fix Nathaniel. Some of the things that he's facing, the mental illness that he's struggling with, can never really be fixed. He said, just be his friend and show up. Just be his friend and show up. That's what Nathaniel needs. That's what he needed from him the most, was just a friend that will show up and that will be there, that won't abandon him. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." It talks about teaching and admonishing. And this is an area of being involved that can be difficult for us as well. We're called to speak into each other's lives. We're called to let others speak into our lives. And I think this is a foreign concept in our society. We often don't believe that others even have a right to speak into our lives, to tell us things that we need to be aware of, things that are going wrong, places that we're getting off track. Sometimes we don't give people the right to speak into our lives in that way. Our relationships need to be deep enough to handle this. We should be able to speak about the problems that we observe in each other's lives. And yes, we need to remove the log from our own eye, as Scripture says. But then, after we've done that, we are prepared to help somebody else with the sin in their own lives. We need to be able to go in at this level, to challenge each other, to teach and admonish, and our relationships should be deep enough to handle that. We need to be able to spur each other on, as Hebrews talks about. And you see this as you look at Paul's letters. If you look at them in summary, you look at what Paul, how he spoke into the lives of the believers that he was writing his letters to. You see a tremendous amount of love in his letters. You see him teaching them. You see him admonishing them. You see him encouraging them to confess their sins to each other. You see him rejoicing with them, and you see him grieving with them. One of the scriptures that I think about when I think of Paul, how he deeply engaged with the body of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, he says, he's talking about the letter that he wrote earlier, and he says, I wrote out of great distress and anguish of heart with many tears, so you know the depth of my love. Paul was willing to go to the difficult areas of people's lives. And it was hard for him to do that. With great anguish, he did that. But he had to be obedient to speak into their lives because he loved them so much that he didn't have a choice but to enter in at that level with them. So we see that all throughout Paul's letters. I'm not going to tell you this morning how to do this. That's between you and the Lord. You have your own unique opportunities and situations. I'm only telling you that this is part of what you're called to do with each other. This is part of the answer to Jesus' prayer that we might become one. This is how it happens. This is how we truly love one another. We must be willing to go deeper with each other, to be aware of each other's needs, to be real with each other, to be willing to be involved in the day-to-day struggles we experience. It could happen here this morning or during the potluck that we're going to have afterwards at small group or at a Bethmore Bible study. You name it. These are only opportunities for them to happen. They're not the solution. The real solution is in your heart. Are you willing? Are you willing to go deep? Are you willing to carry one another's burdens? Are you willing for someone to carry yours? If you're willing, you will find a way, because God will make a way. It will be difficult at times, and it will be painful at times. Those close relationships will be the ones where you probably will experience the most pain in your life. But they are also the places where you will experience the most joy in life as well. Are you willing to go there? And God is calling you to go deeper with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to close with the end of that clip that we started this morning.
We look after each other. I'm his friend.
Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for how you've designed us as a body, to be a body, to be connected to each other. And Lord, I am so thankful for the people in my life who are true friends, who I know really care, who have stuck with me even when I have been a difficult person to stick with. Lord, they are truly gifts from you, and I give thanks for them this morning. And Lord, I pray that each of us would take the challenge that your word gives to us to be that kind of person for others. Lord, may we be willing to go deep with each other, past the superficial things in life, to the things that are important, what is really happening in our hearts. May we be able to encourage each other and strengthen each other in our walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.